Hello and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. Each week, we talk about different college admissions topics and answer those tough questions you may be dealing with concerning getting into the college of your choice. We know how difficult this process can be, so each week, we try and make it easier to navigate. Now, here's your host, Anna Wren and Mark Huffer.
Hi, everybody. Hope you're all having a wonderful week. This is Anna Wren and...
Hi, this is Mark Huffer.
And we're here with the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. So, Mark, how has your week been?
My week, this has been an outstanding week. The last 2 weeks, I've been talking with students who are coming back from some of their last visits to colleges over the summer, and I'm amazed at how incredibly important food is to them. You get hungry listening to them talk about their cafeteria experiences. But one of the other things, and I think it's directly related to what we're going to talk about today, is they talk about when they are on campus, they talk to students and they talk to professors and how nice they are or how not nice they are. And one of the things that when you start to dig into that, what does nice mean?
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. That's what we're going to talk about today. Thanks to, Harvard's Turning the Tide report, we were recently at the Boston IECA conference and we were talking about how niceness is going to play a much more significant role this year in admissions. And what does that exactly mean? How will admissions measure how nice a kid is? So based on you, working with a lot of kids, what are some of the things you think are going to be important for students to get across this fall?
Exactly. I think when you and I were at the conference there in Boston recently, hearing from admissions representatives talk about niceness being really something that is evaluated in part of the application process. That was unique to hear their perspective. So in short, I think When I talk with students, I let them know that it's niceness is not necessarily one thing. It's a complex quality, and it's conveyed in a lot of different ways, both in avenues of communications of what you say and what you write, how you speak on the phone, interviews, all of that. And in short, I think it really comes down to: do you care about others and their well-being, or do you just focus on who you are and your own situation? I think that really is the main quality that they look for.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you hit the nail on the head, and they really are just looking for students to kind of talk about like where they spend their time and how it relates to the community they might be a part of. So I think people automatically assume that niceness is demonstrated through, for example, volunteer service on your resume. But, before kids go out there and scramble to add a lot of volunteer service hours, I would think it's important that, it's not about the amount of hours you put in at the place necessarily, but really carefully choosing those activities so that their resume or what they're sharing does really come across as genuine.
When you speak with the students you're working with, Anna, do you identify certain ways to present their community service and how they work within their own communities so that it does show that they are not necessarily thinking about themselves in so much as that they're part of a greater community?
Absolutely. I think we do look at the different activities. So for example, I think it's really, I shouldn't say easy, but it might be easier to sign up for established volunteer activities in the area, such as taking care of children at the YMCA, or volunteering at a soup kitchen. But I think it's hard to build that connection into also what the student is genuinely interested about and cares about. So I remember when I was working with a student once, and I thought it was really interesting because they'd already started stuff before I met them. And they were part of a nicer community in our area. And she loved music. And she really wanted to share that passion for music and all that music has done for her with other people. But she did know that there were other areas that were not as fortunate that were experiencing cutbacks to their music program. And they couldn't really afford instruments for kids at those public schools. So she would run drives throughout the year and collect used instruments within her own local community so that she could donate those and also give lessons, free lessons, to others in other communities. So I thought that was a pretty good example because I could see that she really loved music and she really wanted to genuinely share that with others.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know having run internships and been evaluator for scholarships and the different programs, I completely resonate with some of the things that I've heard from different schools and their admissions representatives. And that's that it's basically a lot of times using your own passion and sharing it to improve your own community and showing that, you know, you have that selfless quality that while you do like to express your own passions, you also like to share it and relay that passion to the people that are around you as well.
And then how else have you found that students can get their niceness across outside of, say, the resume?
Yeah, how do you present your niceness? I'm in talking with representatives and also in reading thousands of applications myself, I've seen it come across. And the thing is, I don't think evaluators necessarily know all the time when they're being shown different kinds of niceness that have an impact on how they evaluate a student. And I would say, you know, the common ones are personal essays. And, you know, when you write down stories about your community service and things that have had an impact on you, those are the common places. But I don't think that students realize it is very important in teacher and counselor recommendations and secondary recommendations from community members and even in-person interviews. But it also comes into play in any kind of communication that you have with the school. And that includes, you know, on the phone. That includes email, silly things like saying thank you and using capitalizing I. Even those things that you are a responsible person, which all act, you know, are part of that niceness quotient.
I think you hit something that I wanted to talk about is I think, you know, niceness is also being respectful. And, you know, as a former interviewer, I would always, the people that kind of stuck out to me were the ones that were late for interviews, just because I felt like they didn't really respect my time. So even something as being on time is really important, or being the first to reach out. So depending on the schools, we're waiting for one another to reach out to set up the interview. But, you know, I think it's really nice if the student takes the initiative and in a nice email is able to get across, like, these are some times I'm available, what are some times that work for you? And like you said, saying please and thank you are just little things that can really go a long way.
Absolutely. I think, anyone who has done interviews, I think we all know that being on time one, while it seems, you know, it seems to be a little thing, it speaks tones about who you are and your maturity and respect. I think evaluators who have had contact with a lot of students, they associate things like maturity and responsibility with the social graces, like you said, the thank you and those qualities that are pleasant or respectful or cordial.
Mm-hmm.
Social graces.
Absolutely. And I think also, even thinking, I don't know that I always received thank you notes after my interview. And doesn't that just seem silly? Because I just thought it was like a given that you would want to thank someone for their time. And it's another opportunity for you to really get across any points and, you know, what you learn and what you gain from the interview. But I actually didn't always, I think I would get thank you notes maybe 30 or 40% of the time from the kids I interviewed for college.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the thank you note. And it's because it's one of those things that I don't think students realize how rare a handwritten thank you note is now. And it's if you want to talk about a quick way to set yourself apart in a very competitive situation from the rest of the pool, A handwritten thank you note is extremely important in that whole series. And to give you an idea, over the thousands of students that I've worked with in different kinds of application processes, I would say that just about 5% take that special time to say thank you. And it's probably only about 1% that actually do a handwritten thank you note and mail it. And if that actually has such an incredible impact, and it shows somebody who's aware and caring and that your time was important and they wanted to show you. That if that is the separation of 1% from the other 99%, boy, that's time well spent.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, now you make me feel bad. I've never received a handwritten thank you note, but that's okay. But I do encourage my students to write handwritten thank you notes, especially for when any on-campus interviews they may have. Because I know they do pick up like a business card from their interviewer, where I know it's a little harder with alumni interviews because you might not always get their mailing address. But I feel like there's really no excuse not to send a handwritten thank you note since you do have the school's address when you do on-campus interviews.
Absolutely. I don't think students recognize that if you send a handwritten thank you note, and I know this from people I've worked with, and it does happen. So if you receive a handwritten thank you note, if you're an interviewer, you will, because it's so unusual now, you will contact the school and let them know. Or if you are working at the school and you're a representative and a student actually sends you a handwritten thank you note, you will be amazed. That handwritten thank you note will probably be in your application, or a note will be made that it was sent. That makes all the difference.
Absolutely. I can imagine, like, if I was working in admissions, I would like probably share it with all my colleagues. Like, look what I got.
I've done it. I know exactly. You are exactly correct. And I don't think students realize how much of an influence that one act can really do.
And I think, you know, for students that don't always get to do an interview or, you know, visit campuses in person, there's also other opportunities, you know, like going to college fairs, or sometimes schools will have university representatives come and speak at the school. And I think even those are great opportunities for students to, you know, connect and try to make a good impression.
Absolutely. I think the adage, every day is a job interview. And that's something to not take lightly, because it really does matter.
Absolutely. And then what are your thoughts in terms of over the top? Like, what if a kid is really too nice? Is there such a thing?
It's funny. I was just going to ask you. I said, okay, so what are the dangers? Because, I mean, as we all know, someone who comes across as not being genuine, that can work against you. So I'd say, I know when I was at the conference, I heard a couple of different representatives from schools who talked about real world examples, you know, where students actually sent gifts of shoes or gifts of flowers and actually a singing telegram. And I thought to myself, you know, if you're on the other side of that has to feel very forced. What do you think?
I would agree. I would think that feels a little awkward at that point. Maybe they're trying a little too hard. And I do think, you know, some things are just, you know, just be simple. And like you said, it's just to be genuine. And, you know, there could be kids like that genuinely do that, but I feel like it's a little much.
Exactly.
And it might be misinterpreted.
I think when you and I started talking today, we talked about something that was unique to both of us that we enjoyed, and that was gelato. And I think in those communications that students have with schools, if they have a chance where somebody has mentioned something that is particularly unique, and you can show that actually is something that you're interested in as well, something like that, just the acknowledgement that person is unique and they're not just a name on the end of an email. I think those are the kind of little subtle things that show niceness and all of the characteristics that has come to represent.
I think you brought up a great example. I actually had a student who did look up her regional admissions rep and noticed that he loved to eat chili. And so she loved to cook. So she actually sent him a recipe of her own for chili. And it did catch his eye, and they really, they had a nice, you know, email exchange after that. And she did end up going to that school. But I think it's important at the end of the day to remember that they're just human too, you know, and being able to connect with them genuinely like people is really the best way to go.
Absolutely. And for a personal example, I think the chili one really resonates with me. I had an applicant who I had written, as you know, I love chocolate, and I had made some comment about that, and they sent me the world's simplest chocolate cake recipe. And I can, you know, I can see that application in front of me. That's how much of an impact that really small attention to detail really made a difference. And I think on the converse side of that, a forced attempt at niceness, you know, nobody, you can smell that like a skunk down the road a mile, and that will work against you. But the ones that aren't forced, the ones that are genuine, they make you shine brightly. So,
absolutely. And I think they are, you know, it's not trying to infuse it into any one specific part of your application, but I do think it comes across your whole application. Because ideally, if you're a really nice, genuine person, you're really doing great things in the community from your heart, I feel like your teachers and the people around you are going to notice that, and they're going to mention it too, on top of whatever else you're writing or sharing with admissions.
I think that's a really important thing to acknowledge, and that's your letters of recommendation that come from others. They will probably they will resonate many of the things that an evaluator is hearing, both in your essays and your the letters of recommendation. And it should be a complete package. Anything unusual will stick out probably.
And I feel like some kids might be encouraged to sign up for different activities. And I guess, what are your thoughts in terms of students picking activities, picking things that are more close to home versus, you know, trying to help certain situations abroad? What would you advise?
You know, that's one of the things that I've actually seen a turn in how, you know, community service, because it became a requirement in many application processes. And that kind of got convoluted where I think students felt compelled to do a whole bunch of community service, no matter what it was. And now we're finding that colleges have figured that out, and what they are looking for are those things that show a commitment, a long-term commitment, and a consistent commitment. So if you are doing things that you're passionate about already, if you really like, you know, teaching little kids, and you work at the Y, and you do that, and you've done that for the last 3 years on every weekend, those are the kind of things, the signs of responsibility, of maturity, and passion to purpose. Those are the kind of things that I think are part of niceness. As much as we love to say they're part of maturity, it's part of that whole quotient.
Absolutely. I know I was talking with a student and they were the opposite, I think, of what you might hear. They did do stuff abroad, but it was because they considered that abroad area, I guess, part of their own community. And they were asking me, can I still use that, you know, because do they mean like where I live now? And I'm like, well, you've lived all over. And I think you chose to volunteer in the community that you did because it made such an impact on you while you were there. And I feel like that's the other thing, is you don't have to be limited and say like automatically, yeah, abroad opportunities are not great, but you know, it's really depends on its significance to you. You know, if there is a tie, if there's a genuine connection there.
Yeah, that genuine connection. And I think you hit it right on the head. And that's is it a genuine connection, and is it a passion of your own? I work with students from South Africa, and they apply to colleges in the United States, and they are always worried that their their work in their community, you know, won't be representing their passion for, you know, things that people in the United States would consider to be, driven by a global perspective. And I keep telling them, no, it's just that you're passionate about your community. And that's one thing I think students have to realize, that, you know, what's near to you and what you're passionate about are going to be the most important factors of community service.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing to keep an open mind on is when they talk about like influencing or helping others, some people think community just means like a physical location. But if you think about communities, it could even be just something you share with other people. So whether it be a common interest or maybe a common cause, then that's also considered a community as well. So I don't think they have to be just restricted to their physical location necessarily.
You bring up one of the things that I think more and more colleges are asking for recommendations or letters of recommendation, or reference letters from those people who are not at the school. They're not teachers and they're not parents, but there are other people in the community. And I think that is where a lot of characteristics of students shine when they don't realize it. And it's from people who aren't used to seeing them in an academic setting or in a sports setting. It may be outside the community in a much different way. And those recommendations, I've heard a lot of evaluators who say those are actually the most powerful statements in some of the applications that they read.
When I get to hear about activities that my students are working on and how it transforms them, it's like the best part. And then, you know, it's like they're so excited. They took the opportunity, because you never know what it's going to do for them. While you do hope, you know, they grow as a person, but you can't even see the ways that some things may help them grow as a person, right? So then they go in and they think, oh, well, you know, I'm volunteering to help put meals together, for example. But at the same time, they are interacting with different people. And they're also coming across, you know, maybe their own biases and how to deal with them. And in that way, they are also growing into adults and developing into more compassionate individuals.
I couldn't agree more. I think those are the true characteristics of niceness. And I think those are the ones that will genuinely come through in the application. The ones that you can't force, the ones that you can't put in there that are fake. There's nothing but truthfulness in those recommendations that come from external sources.
So what would you say, what are some last minute tips that you would give to our listeners on niceness?
Absolutely. It would be, it's funny. I was thinking about that when we first started exploring niceness. And I think that the big one for me is that handwritten thank you note, followed right behind responsibility. Did you respond in a timely manner? So if somebody asked you for something, did you respond, you know, so in a timely fashion? And then probably the last one is, are you just genuinely pleasant, respectful, and cordial? Do you just come across as somebody who cares? And I think that can't be forced either.
Absolutely. I feel like you can spot those a mile away if it's forced. And I would also say, you know, whatever you do day to day is going to come out on your application. So if you're a really nice person, and I think most kids out there are, it's really going to come out in your application, and there's no special need to like try to force it in or anything like that. And that, you know, as long as you're genuine in every part, you know, whether it be the essay you write, to the activities you choose, to the interactions you have with people, both at your school, in your family, within your family, and, you know, those at the schools that you're looking at, I think it's really going to be clear that you're a really genuinely nice person who has a lot to share with the world and really cares a lot about the world.
Agreed. When you see humble swagger, you know it when you see it.
And I love it.
Humble swagger.
Humble swagger. That's in everything you say and everything you write and communicate. I think that humble swagger will represent you in ways that you don't even know.
Great. Well, thank you so much for hopping on today, Mark. I hope everyone learned something from both of us today. And we look forward to checking you guys out on the next session.
Thank you, Anna. I hope this was helpful for everyone. And it was definitely fun.
Thanks for listening to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast, where we make getting into college easy and fun. Don't forget to go over to iTunes and subscribe to get updated each week when we release a new episode. Also, for more helpful college admissions information, visit our website at www.c2ccollegepodcast.com.